Your glory like a fire, awakening desire will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. So open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the skies. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. So open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart. Glory, Lord. We want to see you. We want to see you. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our
Jenna, I hope that's why you've gathered in this place today, is to hear and see from the Lord. And so, good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
It is great to see you out this morning. I'm excited about what God's going to do with us and through us this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we want to say a hearty welcome to you. And if you haven't gotten a visitor packet with a visitor card, when we do our meet and greet, make sure that you stop by at the back with the ushers and get a visitor card. Fill that out so we can have a record of your visit with us. We have several announcements to go through, so let's take our bulletins and look at these. First of all, immediately following our service, we're going to take about a five-minute break, and we have a business meeting. And we have a couple new deacons that we're going to have share their testimonies, or deacon prospects. They're going to share their testimonies, and we're going to go through our finances. So just want to encourage all of our members to stay for that 5 minutes after the service, and it'll be a brief meeting. Small groups have started up. If you didn't get involved in a small group, it's not too late. We would love for you to get involved with one. Or if you just want to grab one of the books at the Welcome Center and start going through that study, it would be beneficial for you. But we'd like to encourage you to be part of our small group ministry. We have a new drama ministry. If you'd like to be part of that, there's an email address that you can email to get some more information about it. And we have an intramural volleyball. It's just going to be for fun. And want to encourage anyone that would like to be part of that to get signed up at the Welcome Center. We're going to start on Tuesday, October 4th. And we want to make sure we can contact everybody that wants to be involved with that, with the details. October 15th, we have to move all the plants from the west side of the building to a new location so that when spring comes, we can just get the work done and not have to worry about the plants and bushes and trees. So if you'd like to help with that plant move on October 9th, on October 15th, we would appreciate that. October 9th is a potluck, Mexican-themed potluck. We have several missionaries, both foreign and domestic, that are going to be here on that date, and we're going to, they're going to have booths set out in the Welcome Center, and it's going to be kind of like a little open house for you to go around, talk to different missionaries, see what ministries are out there, and we're really looking forward to a great missions conference. For the rest of the announcements, make sure that you read through your bulletins. I have two that, one that's not in your bulletin. There's a harvest party on October 8th at Bo and Michelle Roberts' house, and it starts at 4 p.m., and that's for those who, with children that are school-aged or younger, and yes, your children are invited to come too, all right? So make sure that if you have children that are school-aged or younger, that you mark down October 8th. And at 4 p.m., that's going to be at Bo and Michelle's house. And then also in your bulletin, there's a flyer. Now this, I'm not going to tell you how to vote. That's between you and God. But this is a great resource to know what candidates are supportive of the same moral stance that we are when it comes to life. Okay? And this is put out by Right to Life, and all this does is give you a website to go to. You go to that website, you type in your name, the year you were born, and your zip code, and it will spit out for you all the candidates that Right to Life approves in their stance on issues that relate to life, okay? And so I'd encourage you, if you don't know, you say, well, I don't know who's running in my district, I don't know who to vote for, this is a great guide, okay? And it's just a guide. You don't have to vote that way, but it's something to learn a little bit more about the candidates and work from. So let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that as we meet here, that you want to meet with us. Lord, it's something I say all the time, but it's something that just boggles my mind that the God of this universe, that you want to open up the heavens. You want us to see you. You want us, Lord, to have communion, fellowship, not only with you, but also with fellow believers. And so today is the Lord's Day. We pray that today, as we celebrate who you are, as we worship you, as we bring praises to you, as we give in honor of you, Lord, I just pray that all we say and do this morning, that it would truly be pleasing to you, that you, God, would be pleased with your people. And Lord, I pray that as your people who are called by your name, help us, Lord, to humble ourselves. Seek your face, turn from our wicked ways. And Lord, I know that you will hear from heaven, you will forgive our sins, and you will heal our land. And we do pray for that healing of the United States of America to take place. And so now, Lord, to you be all the honor and glory. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. All right, if we can make our way back to our seats. I do have one more announcement. If you can make your way back to your seats. This last week, I had a petition out with, I asked for signatures, and I didn't have an address line on there, and those petitions are not valid unless an address is affixed to a name. And so we corrected that this week. So if you'd signed it last week, I'm sorry, we're going to ask you to sign it again. And we'd like to get this petition out. We disagree with what the state of Michigan has said, at least I do, that they will speak for us as to what kind of state we will be. And I think, no, that the Board of Education does not speak for all of us in decisions that they make. So you can read what the state of Michigan or the Board of Education said at the Welcome Center, the statements out there, and then also a statement that I'm saying, and if you'd like to join me in it, you can sign that. But I also, when you sign it, I need you to put your address as well. So thank you.
All right, let's stand together this morning as we sing. This is Amazing Grace. Thank you.
Let this blessed assurance
is well with my soul.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for our church, and for the witness it has here in our community. We just pray for this offering. We just ask that you guide the giver, and that we just ask that as we use it to make a bigger witness here in Kalamazoo. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Paul and choir. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. What a great reminder this morning that Christ, I mean, every song we sang this morning was about what Christ has done for us and what that work that he's done should accomplish for us. Peace, right? To know that his love is, his grace is amazing. And Christ can be the foundation that we build our lives. So what a great song service this morning. A man had a habit of grumbling at the food his wife placed before him at family meals. And then he would ask the blessing. One day after his usual combination complaint prayer, his little girl asked, "Daddy, does God hear us when we pray?" "Why, of course," he replied. "He hears us every time we pray." She pauses and thinks about it for a moment. And then she asked, "Does he hear everything we say the rest of the time?" And he said, "Yes, dear, every word." He was so encouraged that he had inspired his daughter to think about these curious things out of spiritual nature. However, his pride was quickly turned to humility when she said, "Then which does God believe?" And how many times in our lives what we pray for and what we say are two totally different things. Have you ever been praying, you just didn't know what to pray for? Maybe you just didn't even know how to pray. A situation comes up and you're like, "I don't even know how to pray about this." Maybe sometimes the words escape you, or the tone in which to speak to God. Maybe you pray for something, but you have no idea even what you want to be accomplished. God knows that we have these issues with prayer. And that's why this morning he gives us Romans chapter 8. It's to help us to understand that when we pray, imagine this, he helps us. See, sometimes when we speak to God, we think, "Boy, if I say the wrong thing, I don't want God to get mad at me." Anybody ever have that thought with prayer? You're like, "Oh, I'm so afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing." And then God's going to be like, "Lightning bolt, zap that one." Or we're going to say something and we're going to sound foolish. All right, when you were raising your children and you were trying to teach your children things, when they tried their best but they weren't successful, did you look at them and go, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe you're such a failure"? You know, when they're doing the 9-month try to walk but their head's bigger than their body and so they got no balance and so they're falling down. And the first time they get up and they kind of balance on their own, they take a step and then they fall. And you just go, "Oh my goodness, oh, you're such a failure." Right? That's how every single one of us reacted, right? No, you went and grabbed the camera and you're like, "Oh, do it again. Right? Because even one step, we're celebrating that success. And let me tell you something about God. When you pray and you talk to him, he's not sitting there with this critique. Where when you're done, he's going to be like, "Well, I'm going to answer it based on how good you did." And he's not sitting there looking at how he can say, "Oh, you failed." No, when you speak to him, you know what he does? He bends his ear. Not because he's hard of hearing, but because he wants you to know that he is engaged with every word that you say. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Now, in Romans 8, there's a whole bunch of great theology that's given to us. In fact, before we look at verse 26, let's look at verse 11, because this is a really cool verse. Let's start verse 10. I better stop, or I'm going to go all back to verse 1. Verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are no more debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Okay, here's the point. He gives us the Spirit to live inside of us. There are two different entities that are told here in Romans 8 that live within us. We have Jesus Christ takes up residence in our lives at salvation. That's a pretty cool thought. Jesus Christ himself takes up residence in our lives. And then we have the Holy Spirit who dwells in us as well. Now, if you're really, really theologically sound, you're sitting there and you're going, well, duh, because they're the same person, right? The Trinity. But the personhoods of the Trinity, of Jesus Christ and the Spirit, both dwell in us. Now keep that in mind as we read verse 26. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here's what happens when we pray and we're like lost with words, or we don't even know what we want to pray for. Here's what happens. The Holy Spirit takes over. And here's what happens when the Holy Spirit takes over. Number one, this is a blank in your bulletin. Here's when he takes over. When we don't know what to pray for. Now think about this for a second. When you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit takes over. Secondly, we don't know how to pray. When we don't know what to pray for and when we don't know how to pray, he takes over. There was a father who was walking past his young daughter's room one night, and he proudly noticed she was on her knees praying, and he listened in to hear what she was saying, and she said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, D, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. And he interrupted her and he said, what do you mean when you do that? And she said, well, God is really smart. And when I don't know what to pray, I just say the alphabet and he figures out the words for me. Now, there's a lot of truth in that. See, when we're praying and we get to an end of what we know, and when we get to an end of how to say what we know, or even what to say, period, that's when the Holy Spirit is sitting there. God is engaged. He's bent his ear. He's listening to what we say. And so his Spirit, who lives inside of us, he's ready to jump in and help us out. Now, here's the thing about this. He doesn't put those words in our mind. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? We need to know how to pray. And no, instead of doing that, God, the Holy Spirit, starts praying for us in what we need prayer for, and he prays it exactly how it needs to be prayed. I'm really glad that he doesn't, like, put it in us and then we get to be the ones that get it out. He does it for us. The third thing we see here, the Spirit helps us where we are weak. Go down to verse 14 in chapter 8. In verse 14 it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit leads us in the way that we live our life. And one way that we know that he's leading us as we live our life, he shows us what to do. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're going, I've never had the Spirit lead me. I mean, I asked Jesus to save me and I feel like I've always been out on an island doing this whole thing all by myself. Then you know what? You're not saved. Because part of the gift of salvation is the Spirit takes up residence inside of you. And as he takes up residence inside of you, he leads. And as he leads, you follow. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. Well, what voice are we going to hear? That's the Holy Spirit speaking inside of us, speaking to us. And I know them and they follow me. How do I know if I'm a sheep of Jesus? How do I know if I'm a child of Jesus? How do I know if I'm a son of God? I hear his voice and I follow him. The Spirit leads. Well, he doesn't just lead us through our life. Here's what else he does. He finds out where we're weak because he's walking through us with every step that we take through our life. We never take one step in life alone. We never go through one moment in life alone. He's with us at every moment, through every trial, through every hardship, through every victory, and through everything of glory. He's always with us. And so when we come to that point where we're praying, he's already been with us. He's already been leading us. And sometimes we don't follow so well, right? And so that brings us to points of prayer sometimes where we've gotten into a mess. And so we're just sitting there and we go, oh, I don't even know what to say. God, help. And the Spirit, who's been there the entire time, he jumps in and he starts to pray for us. He helps us where we're weak. Look at verse 15 in chapter 8. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, the Spirit in your life should be confirming who you are in Christ. And if you don't have that, you're not his. Salvation's been made this funny thing in the world today. Salvation's become all about what we do. Well, you have to. A, B, C. Admit, believe, confess. And true, we do admit, believe, and confess when we get saved. But you know who does the work of salvation? The Holy Spirit. Titus 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, not by righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, he's the one who saves. And when he saves, he starts to speak to us within us. And he says, you are a child of God. And so when you cry, you say, Abba. That's the affectionate, personal term. You have Father, which is a more formal word, but then you have Daddy, Abba, which is a more affectionate phrase. And you cry and you say, Abba. Why do I cry and say Abba, especially when I'm in need? Because I know that Dad knows best. When I was in second grade, I really, really wanted a new bike, okay? Because my bike was really small and it had training wheels on it. And I did not need training wheels. And I had younger brothers that needed training wheels. And so I kept saying, Dad, I want a new bike. And so my dad said, I tell you what, you get straight A's and I'll buy you a new dirt bike. And so he did. I got straight A's. He bought me a new dirt bike. Now, what was really cool about that, he knew what I needed. It was the first time that I had the handbrakes. I'd always had the brakes that were on the pedals. All right? And so I got going really fast, and then I slammed back on the pedals, and my wheels just kept, the pedals went backwards, and I wasn't stopping, and I had to figure out, and oh, man, that bike was cool. Then you know what? My brother, Josh, 2 years younger than me, my dad gave him the same deal. Straight A's, I'll give you a bike. You know what? My brother barely passed. Barely got out of the kindergarten. So the deal went into first grade. And he barely made it through first grade. And then he gets into second grade and he gets kicked out of second grade. Kicked out. My mom taught at the school, and he got promoted to third grade because she's the only one that could control him at the time. He threatened to beat up his second grade teacher. who was a male. And they stood eye to eye, because my brother Josh was a big kid. They stood eye to eye, and he threatened to beat the teacher up. And the teacher taught, he was the coach for the elementary football team. And he looked at my brother, and he said, I don't want any piece of you. And so my brother got kicked out of school. And you know what? My dad looked at my brother, and daddy always knows what's best, and he bought my brother a bike. I got a BMX. My brother got a Mongoose. All right? You know which bike was worth more money? The failures. The one who didn't earn it. But dad knew best. And see, when we look at our lives, when we talk to God and we cry, Abba, Father, when we cry, Daddy, help, the Spirit knows what's going on and the Spirit knows how to help. And he always knows what's best. He knows what's best for us, and he knows what's best for everybody around us. And he knows that in his plan, exactly what needs to take place. Look at the fourth thing here. The Holy Spirit speaks for us. Now, I want to make this, I really want you to understand this. When it says there in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. He is not speaking to us. He is not speaking through us. He is speaking for us. Some people think that this is, well, the Spirit starts to put things in me and I start to rattle off. Uh-uh, that's not at all what it's saying. The Spirit itself speaks for us. And the fifth thing, the Spirit groans for us in ways that cannot be spoken out loud, with groanings which cannot be uttered. The things the Spirit says for us, we are never made aware of in our prayer life. He speaks them for us. And they don't get uttered out loud. I don't utter them out loud, and he doesn't utter them out loud. He just speaks to the Father for us. Look at verse 23 in Romans 8. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. See, we do groan in this life. We get to the point of the end of our prayer and we just, oh, I don't know what to say. And isn't it frustrating sometimes? Isn't it maddening? And we groan. We groan because we see what happens around us. We see all the evil that's in the world. And we see all the promises of God. And we see all that God has said is going to be fulfilled. And we look at that and we're like, but it's not happening. And we wait for all of those things to come true. And inside of us, we groan. There are two types of groaning in this passage. One is the groaning that we do. Our groaning is based on promise left unto frustration until Jesus fulfills what he has said he will do. The Spirit's groaning is not out of frustration. The Spirit's groaning is actually getting something done for us. And even though we have no part in that groaning, no part, he is getting something done for us with the Father. The Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings. Now, for anybody out there that likes Greek, that word groanings is in the dative case, which means that the groaning could be as we groan within ourselves. He joins our groanings, but his groaning and my groaning will be different because my groaning, I can groan out loud. Has anybody here ever groaned out loud? Oh, come on. Some of you, I've heard. You've come and you've groaned to me in my office. All right. And so there's groanings that take place that we have. And here's the thing. The Spirit joins our groanings, but his groaning is better than our groaning because he speaks himself for us. Look at verse 27. And he that searches the hearts. This is not the Spirit here. Look at, I'll just read to you. Jeremiah 17:10 says this. I, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, meaning the self-sustaining one, the biggest view of God that any Israelite could possibly have had. That's who this is here. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So, Romans 8:27. He that searches the hearts. Who searches your heart? The Lord does. You know who searches your heart? Father God. He searches your heart. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows every thought you think. He knows every wish you have. He knows every desire. And he runs it through the press. Okay? It's kind of like we're a sponge full of all sorts of desires. And those are the liquid that go into the sponge. And the Lord tries the sponge, and he takes and he squeezes it. But here's the wonderful thing that the Lord can do. As he squeezes out all of the things that we have inside of us that we want to see happen, that we want to have accomplished, as he squeezes that out, he squeezes out all the things that we shouldn't have, all the things that we don't need. And he squeezes that all out, and he gets it out of us, and he knows how to keep within us all the things that we do need. And as he tries the reins, as he's purifying us, shaping and molding us, squeezing out what we don't need and keeping in what we do need. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Okay? Now again, we're going to go back to this Trinity thing. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, they're all one, right? You cannot remove one from the other. They are one, okay? But as they act in us and to us, the way that they act takes on different characteristics. He works, God, singular, works, and he describes three different ways that he works. Well, God the Father, the one who searches our hearts, the one that knows all things, the one that knows how to wring us out, he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He and the Spirit are always in communication because they have the same mind. And having the same mind, as the Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, the one who tries the hearts, the Father, he's making us the way that we need to be. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As the Spirit makes its intercession for us, it's always according to the will of God. He knows the God the Father and God the Spirit have the same mind. And so as they communicate on our behalf, it's always done according to the will of God. We don't have to be the most fluent in prayer. We don't have to have all the right words and phrases. The Spirit who knows the will of God and makes requests on our behalf according to the will of God, he's speaking for us. So what in the world are we supposed to really gather from these verses? Well, number one, the Spirit aids. The Spirit aids. Now, I would like to be able to stand before you and say that the Spirit does. But he doesn't do for us. when we pray, he doesn't make us pray the right things. He aids our prayer. Just like when my children were learning to walk, I could aid them in walking, but I could not walk for them unless I carried them, and then they weren't walking. So here's what the Spirit does when we pray. He aids our prayer. He gives our prayer balance. He gives our prayer direction. He gives our prayer all the help that our prayer needs, but he aids our prayer. Secondly, the Spirit appeals. He makes intercession to God for us. The one who has the same mind with God appeals to us on our behalf according to the will of God. The Spirit appeals to God for us. I don't know. I mean, I say that and it's like, oh, okay, that sounds great. Do you know how big a thing this is? You who don't know how to pray. Me. I don't know how to pray. And the Spirit says, that's okay, I've got it. I'll appeal for you. It's kind of like someone who's standing before a judge. They're accused. They're wrong. They need to know how to enter their plea. They know how to have an appeal made. The Holy Spirit comes in and he says, I'm one with him. I'll make the appeal for you. You know what that means? You are getting the perfect appeal made. Third, the Spirit articulates. You don't have to have the words. Some people say, well, I don't pray because I don't know what to say. Okay, well, I want you to start doing this. Focus on the things you want to say, but you don't know how to say. Focus on just having a communication with God where you're just trying to say something to him. And as you try to say something, the Spirit himself will articulate to God what you need said. And even though you don't know what he's saying and you don't know how it's getting done, he will make your prayer right. But if you don't pray, it isn't going to happen. The Spirit aids, he doesn't do it for us. As he aids, he appeals and he articulates. And the Spirit also advocates. He takes your side according to the will of God. You and God will never stand opposed in your prayer as long as you surrender to the Spirit. Because the Spirit, he will advocate for you. So what is the Holy Spirit praying then? I mean, wouldn't you like to know? Well, I can't tell you the exact what in every situation, but I can tell you what in general. Look at verse 28. And we know. How do we know? We know because the Spirit is the one that's speaking to the Father for us, right? We know because he's making intercession. We know because he is the appeal. He is the articulator, and he is the advocate. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When we pray and we fall short in our prayer, the Spirit picks up our prayer, and we know all things work together for good. So when we pray, you know where the faith comes from in our prayer? Not from what I'm asking. Faith comes because I know who's got my back in my prayer. Faith comes because I know that all things will work together for good. That's what we know. And that's all rooted in prayer. My brother and I, my brother Josh and I, we had our bikes. We'd like to ride our bikes around. And one night, we had a fence in our backyard. And if we threw the ball over the fence, it went into what is called the L.A. River, okay, because we grew up in Los Angeles. The Los Angeles River was just a big cement thing, and water flowed down it when it rained. Pretty much that's all it was really for. Most of the time there was hardly anything trickling through, and if there was anything trickling through there, you did not want to touch it. And one night we knocked the ball over the fence, and so It was a quarter mile ride down to the end of the block where we could go across the bridge, and then it had an inlet into the LA River, and we would ride our bike down on that cement, and we'd ride down to behind our house, which was another quarter mile down, get the ball, and then ride back, and then get out of the LA River and another quarter mile. So it was about a mile round trip, okay, not real far. And so it was getting kind of late. It was getting kind of dark. And my mom was like, you guys got to hurry. Dad's going to be home in a few minutes. And it's dinner time. So we jumped on our bikes. We rode down into the LA River to get our ball. We picked up the ball. We started riding back. And as we were riding back, we got stopped. This guy, his name was Tiny. They called him Tiny. Okay. He was about 5 foot two tall. He's about 5 foot six wide. Okay. And he was in that in our neighborhood, which is a pretty suburban neighborhood, but he was the leader of a gang. And he and his friend stopped my brother and I. Now, at the time, my brother and I, we were like in fourth and second grade. And he looked at my bike, and he goes, I want your bike. And I'm going, I worked so hard for this bike. And I look over at my brother Josh, and I'm like, give him your bike. Right? He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. My brother Josh is like, I don't want to give him my bike. And so Tiny, he tells his guy, hey, you take their bike from him. And I'm holding on to my bike. And my brother Josh is holding on to his bike. And all of a sudden, we see some light shining down toward us. And we see this figure. It looked like he's got a cape on. My dad always wore a suit coat. It was his suit coat flapping in the breeze. And he came running down. And he goes, what's the problem? I'm like, he's trying to take my bike. And my dad grabbed our bikes, carried them right through the gang members. I'm like, yeah, take that. Took our bikes, put them in the back of, we had a Ford Pinto at the time, put them back in the Ford Pinto, and he drove us home. You know what I knew that day? As soon as Dad showed up, he had my back. They weren't going to take that bike. My dad gave me that bike. He wasn't going to let that happen. You know, when you pray, the Holy Spirit has your back. And when you pray, he knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly how to help. And don't worry about your words. Maybe you just need to sit there and go, I don't know what to say. Help! And the Holy Spirit will pick up where you leave off. And he knows exactly what is the mind of God, and he knows exactly what is the will of God. And this is only true if he's your dad. Because if you're not his dad, he does not have your back. You do not have the promise that he will pray for you. You're going at it alone. If my brother Josh and I did not have my dad show up that night, I would have been bikeless. But I had a dad who had my back. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this morning he wants to save you. He came to this earth. He died on the cross for your sin. He died for you. Because if you were to die for your own sin, you would be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever to pay for your sin, because you could never finish the payment for your sin. That's why eternal punishment is the only punishment God can give, because when mankind pays for his own sin, he can never finish the payment. But God the Father sent his Son to pay in full the penalty for your sin. And if you trust in what Jesus did by dying on the cross for you, rising again from the grave, then he will give to you the right to be called a child of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to be called the sons of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, if anyone here has never trusted you, I pray that right now you would set a deep conviction on their heart. They need you, because if they don't have you, then they are going at life alone, and they have no prayer and they have no help in their prayer. Lord, I thank you for all those this morning that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that you have our back. Thank you, Lord. I pray that we would be encouraged in that this morning. And Lord, even when our words fall short, we can be assured that the Holy Spirit, He is going to pick up and speak for us. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning our hearts would be full in understanding of that. Now, Lord, we just want to be people that are in prayer so that the Holy Spirit is speaking for us. Close out this time the way you want, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be standing here. If you'd like to talk to me about it or talk to someone, just come up here and tell me that you would like to. And we'll have someone talk to you about trusting Jesus as your Savior. Let's stand together as we close out the service. For all that you do for us. And even when it comes to our prayers, Lord, you know that we are frail, we are weak, and they're so limited as to what we can say and what we can ask. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being my advocate. I thank you for being the one who will articulate the words for me. So, Lord, as we leave here with so much promise. We leave here with so much encouragement that you are not a God who leaves us alone. You are a God who every step of the way has your Spirit with us to help us. And so, Lord, I pray that our prayers this week will be made in more earnest than ever from our end, knowing that you, God, are speaking for us on your end. So, Lord, to you be all the praise and glory, our wonderful Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless